Well, amen. Praise the Lord for that special this morning. And what a blessing it's already been just being in the house of the Lord. I trust that you, first of all, can just sense the presence of God in this place and that you've already been blessed just through the music that we've had and received this morning. If you have your Bibles with you, if you look with me to the book of Acts in chapter 3, Acts chapter 3, we're going to be reading here verse 1 down through verse 11 this morning. After the ascension of the Lord Jesus Christ, we find this actually to be the first apostolic miracle. The first apostolic miracle in this apostolic age after the ascension of Christ. And so if you'll stand with me, we'll read this this morning. Acts chapter 3 and verse 1. Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, "Look on us." And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." He took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood and walked, and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God, and they knew that it was he which sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. And as the lame man which was healed held Peter and John, all the people ran together unto them in the porch that is called Solomon's, greatly wondering. And let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, as we do bow before you this morning, we do thank you for this opportunity that we have, that you made available to each one that's here, to assemble ourselves together and to worship you in spirit and truth. And I pray, God, that as we now look at this passage of Scripture, I just pray that you would, God, speak to each one through this passage of Scripture. I pray that you would use me as an instrument in your hand to bring forth your message to your people from your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. Well, as Peter and John were going into the temple, we find here in chapter 3, a lame man calls out to them. The Bible says in verse 2 that it was a certain man lame from his mother's womb. Now, as we look at the certain man, we know that God wants to bring attention to this particular man, that God had planned this encounter. This was not just circumstantial. This was something that God had worked, and that he just was there at that same time that Peter and John was going into the temple. There was been a lot of people around. There's no doubt that they could have missed several that were there at the temple begging for alms. But this man, God had planted there, he placed there for a purpose. And praise the Lord, how God works in our lives and not even knowing just who he's going to bring across our paths and just what kind of blessings that can lead into. But the Bible says this certain man, he asks for alms, or he asks Peter and John for money. Now, we know they looked at this as more of him asking for money is because Peter had mentioned to them that we don't have silver and gold. But this man was looking at what he thought he needed the most. What he thought he needed was this world's money, because it takes money to purchase things, it takes money to live. So he thought that that's what he needed most, and possibly even what was available to him. Truth of it is, he didn't know any better. Can I tell you this morning that you will not ask for things that we don't know exist. There was a lot of things this man did not know existed. What he did know was that he needed money, and that's what would possibly be available to him by those going into the temple, that they would possibly be willing to give him something, monies to live on. A toddler will not ask for a diamond ring. A toddler will not ask for a sports car. That's why we need to raise toddlers, amen? Because when they get in teenage years, they want everything that they know exists in the world now. But if you would take a piece of candy and lay it beside a diamond ring to a toddler and say, you can have whichever one you want, which one is that toddler going to pick? They don't know any better. All they look at is say, that's candy. I can eat that. That diamond ring has no value to them. They don't know any better. They're not going to ask for something. We will not ask for something that we do not know exists. This lame, crippled man did not know some things. But what he would have known. As we looked at this miracle, this first apostolic miracle performed by Peter and John, and this lame man, the Bible has recorded this for us to learn from it. What did he know? Why would he ask them for silver and gold? Well, first of all, he knew that he was born a cripple. The Bible says in verse 2, a certain man lame from his mother's womb. So in his mind, as he would grow older and he would hear of God and the blessings of God, in his own mind, he would have thought more than likely if there was a God that God didn't love him. If there is a God of love, evidently, if he loved me, he wouldn't allow me to be born a cripple, lame from my mother's womb. There's a lot of people in the world today that have this kind of thinking. They think, well, if there is a God, then why did he allow this and why did he allow that? And how's... So in his own mind, if there was a God, not really knowing if there is or not, I know one thing. He doesn't love me. That would have been one of the thoughts of this crippled man. Another that he would have known is he was not a privileged individual. Didn't have a rich uncle to turn to. The Bible says here that not only did he know that he was born lame from his mother's womb, but he was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate. Every day of his life, they were dependent upon somebody just carrying him to a place where he could ask for money. He was not privileged. He would have also known in his own mind, his own thinking, maybe that's some of the things that people in our world are thinking as well. Maybe some in the auditorium here. I know of people that are privileged and they have far more than I do. We find that this man, according to Acts chapter 4 and verse 22, the Bible says, for the man was above 40 years old on whom this miracle of healing was showed. So this is not just a young man, it's not a teenager, it's not a college career student. This man had lived for some 46 years as a cripple. He would have known how cruel this world can be. especially if you don't have money. Somewhat always been the same, human nature. If you have money, if you have something to offer the world, then the world can be your friend. And you can have a lot of friends if they think that you have something to offer them. And money in this world gives somewhat prestige. It gives somewhat of an advantage in the world's sense of living. But this man was born lame. Didn't have privilege. He didn't have rich uncle. Didn't have money. And can you imagine some of the experiences of life he would have went through in 46 years? Of being rejected, being sped upon as he'd asked for some. This world can be very cruel. There's people in this world that actually rob from the elderly. They actually even will rob from those that are down and out. And they'll go by and steal their shoes or steal blanket or whatever. It's just human nature of humanity can be very cruel to other people. He would have a lot of stories in 46 years, especially in that time of the year, time of the century. One of the other things he would have known as we look here at this man who asked them for silver and gold, he knew if he wanted to survive, he would have to beg. No one was going to take care of him. No one was going to sacrifice for him. All they would do, he did have some. The Bible doesn't tell us who they were, but they would at least pick him up and take him down in front of the church where he could beg those going to church, thinking that he would have a better chance possibly of being treated more fairly by someone that was going to church. And they would lay him in front of the temple so that he could beg. He knew if he wanted to survive, he would have to beg. You know, it's amazing what people will do to survive when it comes right down to it. I was reading about a plane crash in the Andes Mountains carrying a national rugby team. 16 survived the crash. After 9 days in the cold and snow and no food, after 9 days, they made the decision to live. But in order to live, they would have to eat human flesh. And I know that there's many here today who would say, well, not me. I would die before I would turn to cannibalism. I would die before I would ever eat human flesh. You never know what you might do if put in a position to have to survive. I've read a lot of survival stories. How that there's been people that have actually cut off their limbs to be able to free them as they were rock climbing and got stuck and couldn't, they would have died. And I read the story of Louis Zamperini. Unbroken. It's just a great book if you've not read that. But, I mean, it just tells a story of what people will do just to survive. He knew if he wanted to survive, he would have to beg. So that's who was sitting there at that temple gate. 46-year-old lame man from his mother's womb. And now that you know things that he would have known, why he would have asked for alms. What he didn't know. What he didn't know is what all of us need to know. He did not know, first of all, that God did love him. Around the world in the circumstances and situations that people live in, they would have to look at their circumstances and situations and they would say, if there is a God, he's not a loving God. How could a loving God allow the certain situations that we're living in? How could he love us and allow us to go through such torture, such agony, such pain? There's a lot of the world that does not know that there is a reality, a real God who loves them. Yeah. See, God had already sent Jesus to die for him, and he didn't know it. That's why we've been given the Great Commission to take the gospel into all the world. Because the greatest need of humanity is, first of all, the need to know that there's a God who loves us. There is a creator God. Yes, we are a created people. There is a creator God. We did not just evolve into what we are today. You take that away from humanity and you take away this hope of God. You take away the reality of a God who loves them. Even in the United States of America, maybe even in this congregation here this morning, there's some here today that you do not understand that God loves you. You need to know that. He sent Jesus some 2,000 years ago to die for you. He paid your sin debt, a debt that you owed and couldn't pay. He paid that sin debt on Calvary's cross, and then he died in your place, so that he might be able to offer you redemption, salvation. Yeah. What he did not know was that God did love him. Not only did he send Jesus, but now he has sent Peter and John to him. Peter and John were now the apostles representing Jesus Christ to the world. During this apostolic age, that's what they were there to do, and to represent Christ to the world, and to see this New Testament church established, and I mean to continue to grow, and to see the Word of God come to completion. And that very same thing that Peter and John was there to do is what Christianity is to do in the world today. In this 21st century, for some 2,000 years, we find that Christianity has been given this responsibility to just represent Christ to the world. We're in a series in Sunday Morning Sunday School. If you're not here at 10 o'clock in Sunday Morning Sunday School, you're missing out on some good teaching, some good information concerning genuine Christianity and not the phony Christianity that many religions are presenting to the world today. Genuine Christianity has to be based upon the person of Jesus Christ and the authority of his word, the scriptures. If it's not based on following Christ and his word, it is not genuine Christianity. Yeah. Peter and John, he didn't know that Jesus, God loved him and he sent his son to die for him. He didn't know that. Not only did he didn't know that, he didn't know that the two men that had just passed him, that he's asking for money, were representing Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Verse 4, Peter wanted him to know that it was Jesus Christ that he needed most. What we need to realize is what the world needs more than money and more than anything else we have to give the world and other people. What they need most of all is what Christ has for them. In verse 4 it says, and Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, look on us. He didn't dismiss this man's cry. He didn't spit at him. He didn't kick him. When this man saw Peter and John, he didn't know who they were. They knew who they were. They knew that now it was the apostolic age. Christ had resurrected, and they would have the power to represent Christ. And when he cried out to them, He looked at them and he asked them for alms or money. Peter turned to him and boldly looked at him and said, "Look at us. We want to see you eye to eye. You need to know something here." Then Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I unto thee." Give I thee. And it's in the name of Jesus Christ. Did you get that? They knew that what he needed was something he didn't even know that he needed. And he was asking them for gold, and they're saying, "Don't have any, but what we have is more important." You might think you want that piece of candy, but in reality, that diamond ring can buy you a lot more candy than one piece. If you have the diamond ring, if you have that, then you can buy all the candy you want. Why choose one piece when you can choose a diamond ring? If you understood that. He didn't understand that. Peter and John understood. Peter and John said, "In the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk." Peter wanted him to know that it was Jesus Christ that he needed most. Look at verse 12. "And when Peter saw it," now that this has happened, and all the people there were marveling at what had taken place, "and when Peter saw it," saw the people seeing and marveling at what had happened, "he answered unto the people, 'Ye men of Israel, why marvel ye at this? Or why look ye so earnestly on us, as though by our own power or holiness we had made this man to walk?'" Peter understood they need to know who it was. They need to know who Jesus Christ is. All we're here to do is represent him. "The God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob, the God of our fathers, hath glorified his son Jesus." Glorified his son Jesus. Even the Old Testament, they were looking forward to his coming. "Whom ye delivered up and denied him in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go. But ye denied the Holy One and the just and desired a murder to be granted unto you. And killed the Prince of Life, whom God hath raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses." They knew who they were. They're witnesses. "And his name, through faith in his name, hath made this man strong." What you witnessed, what happened to this man, was in the power of Jesus Christ and in his name and having faith in his name. "Which is by him hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all." Perfect soundness. This man had perfect soundness. Now what all that include? Well, so far we know that he had been helped physically. But there was more. Because he realized it was in the name of Jesus Christ, and he would have had faith in Jesus Christ, as Peter would have mentioned there, and it would have brought him salvation. And salvation would have brought him a new life. In verse 8, the Bible says, "And he leaping up stood." That's a new life. He had never felt his legs. He had never felt how his legs could hold the weight of his body. He's experiencing something he's never had experienced before in this physical sense. And as he experienced this, not only did he walk, but the Bible says he was leaping. He leaped when it happened. And then the Bible says, as he was leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. Something he hadn't done in probably 46 years. Yeah, a new life, a new identity. Because now he knows of God's love. Now he knows he's one of God's children. 2 Corinthians in chapter 5. Can I tell you that most do not know what Jesus can do for them? What he didn't know is what everyone needs to know. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is, look right here, a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Listen to me. God changed his life. How many here would witness and say, God has changed my life? Raise your hand. Just raise your hand. Look around. Look around. If you're not raising your hand, can I tell you it's because you're ignorant of what God can do for you? You might be here this morning and you might only know what this man knew when he asked for money. It's not what you need most. What you need most is to know that God loves you. What you need to know most is that God sent his son to die for you. What you need to know most is God has got other servants, whether it be John or Peter or somebody in this congregation, and he sent them to you to be a witness as to what Jesus Christ can do for you. Change your life. Not only here, in this temporary physical body, we know not what a day may bring. This life is only a vapor. Not only does he bring us a difference in this life, he gives us everlasting, eternal life. John chapter 14. We studied this in Sunday school this morning, but I got to refer back to it. John chapter 14, verse 2 and 3. Jesus said, verse 1 says, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. If you have a relationship with Jesus Christ, you have a relationship with God. That's what we preached on in Sunday school. But he says, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. It is true, and I want you to know that. That's what he's saying. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. After this life, whether it's through death or whether it's through the rapture of the church, we have an eternal life. We have a place in heaven. We are going to be in the presence of God for an eternity. That is, if you've asked Christ into your heart, if you've had faith to believe in who he is and what he has to offer you, salvation, everlasting life. Go back to our text and this, we're done here. Acts chapter 3. The lame man, after receiving what Peter and John had for him. Verse 11. And as the lame man which was healed held Peter and John. He'd already told me, it's not what we've got for you. We're just representing Jesus Christ But this is what Jesus can do for you. And this man, after receiving what God had for him, he is leaping, he is praising, and now we find him here, the Bible says he's hugging him. I can just picture it, amen? He's thankful to God, but he realizes that God loved him and he sent Peter and John. And so now what he can do is he can hug Peter and John. I can see him just crying and snot all over him, amen. He's just rejoicing. He's saying, you don't know how much this means to me. You don't know what kind of blessings it is. I've been a layman from my mother's womb. I didn't know that there was a God who loved me. I didn't know this was possible. I am experiencing things I've never experienced before. And he's hugging old John. He's hugging Peter. And he's just crying and rejoicing. Yeah. All because he received what God had for him. So, question, as we close, how much silver and gold would it take for him to trade what God gave him? You think, well, if I only had $1 million, if I had all this, all my problems would be gone, I would do this, I would do that. Really, that's what the world would want you to think. Because then you give yourself to making money. And you live to make money. Listen, you should never live to make money. We work to be able to live. But we don't live to work to make money. Life is more important than that. But you don't understand that if you don't know God. You don't understand that if you don't know that there's a God who loves you. You don't understand that if you don't realize that God has a purpose for your life on this planet Earth. And there's things that you can accomplish, and there's things that he wants to do for you. But it starts out with you looking to him and asking. Are you still asking for silver and gold? If you would lay an IOU as much gold and silver as you want in this world, next to a gift of healing, a gift of salvation, a gift of everlasting life. I guarantee you, this lame man would have held on to what he received. All the gold in the world would not come close to comparing to what he received. That same principle, that same truth is for us today. Don't be blinded by what you don't know. Know what you can know and receive what God has for you. If I could have every head bowed. What he didn't know is what we need to know. God loves you. God has a purpose and a plan for your life. God sent Jesus for you. He sends others to try to get you to know the truth and what he has for you. It's far more important than silver and gold. Father, we bow before you now. We love you, Lord, and thank you for the truth of your word. And I just pray, God, right now that you would speak to each one. There might be some here that are blinded to the reality of who you are and what you have for them. And I pray, God, that those blinders would be removed. They would see themselves as you see them. And they would know what you have to offer. And I pray that they would receive that today. God, work in our midst. Bless in this invitation now. In Jesus' name.